Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Are you okay for me to go deep?
Yes!
All right, good. I'm Beth Murray, and this is One Torn Every Minute, the podcast where we talk about giving birth. Today, I'm joined by the magnificent writer and performer, Margaret Caborn Smith. Right.
You're scaring me.
Dive straight into your birth canal and discuss your experience of labour. And I will start by asking you to do something that I would never ordinarily do with a person, which is to choose your favourite child, by which I mean the birth of that said child.
Well, I guess if you want to talk about labour, I only did do labour once, so probably let's talk about the first one. You're looking confused.
Yeah,
I had an elective caesarean the
That's
second time.
That's still birth.
No, it's birth, but it's not labour, is it?
No, That's but we thing. Have had some caesareans and they've been fascinating. I didn't have any caesareans.
Yes.
So, well, yeah. You know, it's a new experience for me.
I had two caesareans.
Two caesareans?
Yeah, but the first one was an emergency one and the second one was elective.
So the first one is a bit juicier in terms of content.
Yes, and also very much led to the
And also are you a newbie?
Elective.
We tend to get it very wrong first time.
Yep.
Let us go with your first birth. So I'll take you back to that time. So when are we talking?
We are talking February 2009, and she was due on the 9th, and I did not enjoy Valentine's Day.
How romantic.
So romantic. And on the 19th, I had a sweep. Let's get right into it.
I haven't had one of those, but I've heard about them.
Oh, my God. It was worse than any other bit. It was
really?
Worse than any other bit. It was just... I was just so shocked by how much it hurt. But so then I came in and was induced on the morning of the 20th.
So does that mean the sweep didn't work?
No, it did work, actually. It definitely did work. But they were like, we need to hurry this. It was working, but it was working very slowly.
Tell me again, because somebody...
Okay.
I distinctly remember making the joke, skin chimney sweep, which was great. But now I can't remember what happens in a cervical sweep.
Well, I mean, what it feels like is the doctor putting their finger up you and just doing a little
twirly.
Circle. Yeah. I mean, what it feels like is that they've got a hook. And it's on a rawer bit of your body than you knew existed.
But I remember that.
Yeah.
For when they're checking how dilated you are.
Yeah.
It's like that thing. But worse.
Yeah, it's a kind of, they're not checking, they're actually having a scrub around to try and get things moving.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So you had your sweep.
I had my sweep, and then I that was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went into labour at about 2 a.m. when my neighbours were having a horrendous row, and I said... Dan. And he went, I'm not going to talk to them. And I went, no, I've gone into labour. He's like, oh, okay, sorry.
Do you think it was like the emotion of listening to people row? It was like curry or...
Yes, they should be advising that, shouldn't they,
yeah.
On the NHS? Saying, go and get really worked up by your horrifying neighbours. No, I don't think that. I think it was the sweep. But, so then I... put on my... Well, no, I did yoga breathing for a bit.
Yeah. How did you know, by the way? Had your waters broken or were you just having the twingy things?
No, I was just having the twingy things. But I suppose because of the sweep, I was sort of expecting it to do. And,
yes.
You know, and I hadn't had any pain like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of Yeah, I don't know if I thought they were Braxton Hicks, but they weren't anyway. No. They were the real thing. And then...
So you did some... How long did you yoga breathe?
I mean...
5 minutes?
Yeah, probably was. Did not last. And then we got the TENS machine that we'd borrowed from someone.
I've never heard of anybody using those.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, again, not for very long, but, you know, the yoga breathing worked for a bit. All good. Yeah. I mean, I think it's more that it's very distracting to have little bolts of electricity shot into your
back.
But,
I mean, you could have just done a Rubik's Cube for the same kind of distraction.
But they're not sort of painful, are they? So, do you know, have you ever done this thing where you have a really itchy, like, mosquito bite, for example?
Yeah, I like that.
And rather than scratching it, you dig your nails into a different part of your body?
Have no,
you
but I will try that because it sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like that. I mean, maybe it's not quite as stupid as that, but, yeah, it was just sort of like buzzing... to try and distract, but and then that really didn't. I think I was still wearing it when we got the cab in the morning about 8 p.m. and I had to pretend I wasn't in labour.
Oh right. So did you get a cab and not tell them?
Yeah, yeah. Because
how did
I was
you think
scared.
You'd be able to stiff that one out?
Well, no, I did. I did because I tell you why. Because it was still really, really early days and it wasn't that bad yet.
Right. So, that brings me to another question.
Yeah.
Why did you think it was okay to go to hospital and not be turned away?
Because I was due to be induced at 8 a.m.
So, I get that. Okay,
but
fine.
I did think I was going to be turned away. I thought I was going to go in and say, look, I'm due to be induced, but I've gone into labour. Can I just go home? But they did not say that. They had a look and they said...
A look usually involves a hook, I find.
Yeah, I don't remember the hook this time. But she had a look and she said, "You have dilated, but it's a really tiny amount, so I'm going to induce you anyway."
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can I just take you back to the cab?
Yes.
Because I'm fascinated by the idea of trying to pretend you're not in labour in a cab.
Mm.
What did you do?
We're just on the way to the hospital.
Had a massive belly.
Yeah. I mean, there was no hiding that. I mean, even though I was wearing a cape, I bought myself a cape.
You're dressing up for this special occasion.
I bought a cape and I was so optimistic. I'd worn a dress because I was like, well, if it comes very quickly, then I don't want to be faffing with having, you know, getting jeans off.
But it was thinking February, it could just drop off. Nippy?
I was quite nippy, but I was very fat. Nippy but fat. Yeah.
So you're in your dress and you
can't. I was in my dress.
Just going out to dinner. No. No twinges.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, we were obviously going to the hospital, but. And it wasn't that far, so I didn't have to do it for that long.
You dropped them around the corner to pretend. Was this UCH?
No, it was Queen Charlotte's.
Where is that?
Which is in White City.
Oh, I mean, there's lovely restaurants around there.
Exactly. The Television Centre. We actually chose it because it was near Television Centre.
Why does that help?
Because my husband had just had a series commissioned and we thought, well, if he's going to be working there all the time...
Oh, that's handy.
Then, yeah. And then the series was decommissioned because of James Corden.
This is another reason to hate James Corden.
Absolutely. No, and he is persona non grata in my house.
Now he knows.
Now he knows, and I'm sure it's really going to bother him.
It will. So you're next to the BBC.
Mm.
You've persuaded the cabbie that you're just
a bit,
just nipping in to do an audiobook. Yes.
I just was, I managed to cover it up. I mean, actually, I don't think he was that bothered. I mean, I was really scared that if he knew I was in labour, he was going to be like, I'm not taking you, I'm not risking my
cat. It is a genuine fear. I had the same thing.
Did you?
You worry that... Well, that you're going to gush everywhere and wet his seats.
Yes.
Or that he thinks you're going to.
Exactly.
And therefore he won't have you in the cab.
Not.
But, yeah, it's an added stress at an already stressful time.
And also because Dan can't drive, and nor can I, so we had to get
so
a cab.
Really
I mean, there were, you know.
That's the only option.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want to go on
Though,
the bus.
He could have sent a BBC car to pick you up.
You're right. I'm sure the BBC
would have stood you.
They throw money around, don't they?
They would have done. Next time.
Yeah.
So you arrived and they decided they were going to induce you, even though you had already induced
yourself. Yes, and this is the thing. That is actually the major thing with me that I was most pissed off with myself for not saying,
No,
I think in this instance I'd like to just try and you know, see what happens. Because what happened was they induced me, and I don't know, were you induced?
No, but I have heard several stories, and they are not good.
No.
0 to 60 in like 10 yeah. seconds.
Well, this is it. You know, it was supposed to be, she stuck the tampon full of chemicals up me, and she sort of, I can't remember what she said now, but she said, and over the next 6 hours, it was honestly something like that, your contractions will start to increase. And what happened was I started having, for 20 minutes, nothing much happened, and then I had permanent contractions, like sort of
Holy
rolling
shit.
Contractions, and I was, you know, ringing my little bell. Ripped the TENS machine off by this point. And the woman came back in and she went, oh, this isn't supposed to be happening, and yanked the thing out of me to try and stop it. But by then it was
too late. Oh, my God,
that's
not reassuring.
No, I know, and there were reassuring people around, but I don't know about your experience, but they're not always that reassuring.
No, it's sort of like a lottery, really. That you. I mean, I had one midwife early on who... I was trying to get a room and they wouldn't let me have a room. And
early on in labour?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't that early. I was trying to get into the hospital. And as I was talking to her, I had an absolutely agonising contraction and sort of turned away to the bed to sort of lean on it. And she turned away too and folded her arms. And waited until I'd finished as if it was a tremendous faux pas that I'd had the audacity to have a contraction in front of her. So it was kind of an odd mix. But then I met other midwives who were the most amazing people I've ever
absolutely,
met.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
I had
the
midwife in my... I know I'm supposed to be talking about one pregnancy, but
yes,
my second
pregnancy...
Yes,
we can dip in.
The midwife... I did actually complain about him because he made a massive error. But one of the weird things he did was... he said, I was sitting with Dan and he said, and is the baby yours? Or rather, is your husband the father of the baby? And I went, well, yes, but he's sitting here. So even if he wasn't, I'm going to
say
he
yes.
is. Yeah. And then he said, and he was like, right. And then he said, what about domestic abuse? And I went, well, again, he's sitting here. No, he doesn't hit me, but he's sitting here. I don't think you're supposed to ask these questions
right.
when he's sitting here.
There's a gap in his training
yes.
there.
Yes.
And also his mentality.
Yeah. But then my favourite thing he said was, and do you consider yourself disabled? And it really did feel like he was going, because we've all been
speculating.
I mean, there were I laugh next door about, you know.
Oh, right, OK. So back to Queen Charlotte's February 2009. Mm-hmm. And we are suddenly in what seems like the advanced stages of labour.
Yeah, like...
Constant contractions.
Yeah.
And where'd they put you?
A labour... No, I wasn't in a labour ward at that point. I must have been nearby. Maybe I was in a labour ward. It's all quite hazy.
Reception.
It was in a lift. No, I was in a room. Yeah, we were moved after that to a labour ward, like to a room in a labour ward after it was very clear that I was in labour and I wasn't going to be allowed to go home.
No, and presumably you couldn't use one of those birthing pools or anything if they had them because of the induction.
Yeah, because I was already strapped up to, you know, plugged in to many things. I was never that keen on the idea of a birthing pool anyway. I was just sort of like, you know, I mean, I had my dress and my cape. I don't
That's
want
true,
to be
you don't want
those.
To get that wet.
I felt like, I mean, it's always really boiling, isn't it? But I felt like it might be a bit cold and weird. Also, this is a weird thing, but my first antenatal class that I did was with Dawn French.
No.
I got an acting job and playing a heavily pregnant woman. And I hadn't told them that I was pregnant. And in the audition, it didn't look like I was pregnant. And I just didn't tell anyone. I just turned up on the day heavily pregnant. And it was, you know, a man came and brought me my bump and was like, oh, you've brought your... Yeah. And they must have thought I was insane that I'd immediately gone and got
pregnant
because
especially.
Of the part. Yeah. But it was in a brilliant programme called Psychoville.
Oh, yes.
Which is, Rhys Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton. And Dawn French played a really horrific midwife in that. And so my experience, I hadn't had any antenatal classes, but mine was her telling me, in character, a lot of very, very horrible things about what was going to happen, including that you poo in the birthing pool and you have
a little net to fish it out to get it out. Yeah.
so yeah, that was all very bizarre.
Right. Well, that's something that nobody else has really experienced, and I can see why it might have put you off. So you're just a purist, and you're going for the traditional.
Going for? Do you know? I made out a birthing plan. And I wrote on every single thing. Shall we see how it goes? Because I do understand that it's good to be positive and to make plans and think this is the ideal. I'd like to put down the ideal, but that's not really very me. I'm quite a worst case scenario person.
Yeah. With you,
so the idea of saying this is the song I would like being played. These are the lights I would like on me. You know, I was just always picturing myself in a big panic, and maybe that's not a good thing.
But it was probably sensible on balance.
Yeah, well, what I heard afterwards, a friend of mine, her sister is an obstetrician. Is that the people who do the birth thing? I don't know. You should know this because
I'll look
it's
up
your,
that for future
this is
reference.
Your job now.
Yeah.
She said they all go and laugh at the birthing plans afterwards. She said that's absolutely what they do, is they turn and we're going...
I'd like to see that in a hospital drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this woman said that she wants to do some chanting.
Yes, and now look at what she's actually doing. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what was in my birthing plan, but I did want a birthing pool, and I did do hypnotherapy.
Yes,
and that was all bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I had two good friends who were pregnant few years later, and they were both very, very keen on the hypno birthing thing, and I was a good girl and I didn't, so you know, all right. But both of them said afterwards, what a waste of time that was.
Yes. it's really just something to do in the run-up. Yeah. It gives you something to focus on. It's
agreed.
A TENS machine. It's a mental
TENS machine. Agreed. And actually, it's not fair to say I don't want to put people off, because I do think well, A, it must work sometimes.
It has to.
It must
just
do.
Not for me.
Yeah, exactly. And B, I think they didn't say, oh, I wish I hadn't done it, because they both understood that it was something that helped you feel like you were preparing for this thing. And you're right, it's like a mental... It's so scary, the lead-up to it.
Yeah, you may as well do something.
Yeah, to make you feel like you've got some power over it, you know, some control over it, rather than just...
And I have heard of it work for some people. Yeah. You know, they sort of breathe it out. Well, good for them, but...
Good for them.
Picturing my vagina as a flower didn't really work for me.
I know. The other thing is I just don't think I could have taken it seriously enough, really. I think
hard.
I would have been giggling.
It's not the silence.
And welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much, because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we're in the labour ward. you're going hell for leather.
Yeah, very much so.
And has anyone checked how far you're dilated? Because that's always a jolly good laugh, isn't it?
God, yeah, they had done. And basically, I dilated 5 centimetres.
That's not bad.
In that 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That is bad.
That is really bad.
Oh.
And then it stopped. And basically, it didn't move again.
Oh, yeah. The pause.
The big pause. That's the joke goes.
a pinterish pause in labour.
Yeah. But I was still very much having the contractions. And I remember saying to Dan, oh, God, I'm not saying this right. In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me, help me. And I can still picture Dan's terrified face.
Oh.
Of just this, you know, because his beloved is just screaming, help me, in his face.
And he can't do anything.
And, again. And he can't really. He did get up occasionally and go and look for the anaesthetist. We had some gas and air. I left teeth marks in the gas and air thing. I remember Dan trying to take it off me because he'd been told to, and me going,
it's actually quite hard to use gas and air. I think you have to be taught. And then there's this moment where you get it right and you think, bloody hell, this is marvellous.
Done it, yeah.
And this is going to see me through. And then about 2 hours later, you go, this is fucking shit.
Exactly. Like the yoga breathing, like the TENS machine. Yes. There's just a limit to all of these things.
Yeah.
Isn't there? And I was given diamorphine. Which put me to sleep between contractions, which just wasn't very helpful. Like, I would wake up.
I quite like a sleep.
Yeah.
You know, you can be in labour for so long and then not have slept during that time.
You're right.
Diamorphine, because I got pethidine, which we've...
Oh, well, that was not banned, but stopped in our hospital.
Why?
Because it made so many people sick.
Oh, yeah, it did make me sick.
There you go.
But then I heard in a previous interview that pethidine is heroin. Which I didn't know.
Oh, no, dimorphine's heroin.
Oh, right.
Is it all heroin?
It's all
it's basically heroin. All drugs, heroin,
and
in
so
different dosages.
We were debating the fact that, you know, we'd taken this hard drug and it felt sad that we hadn't really
enjoyed it.
No,
not at all.
But apparently you can only enjoy it if you're coming from a standing start where you're kind of normal.
Yeah.
And if you're in great pain, what it's supposed to do is...
Yeah, ease that a bit.
Yeah, I don't remember
it gave me hallucinations. I had real...
Oh, really?
Yeah, sort of, you know, the old school Indian restaurants that have that sort of furry wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that. I had a hallucination of that for quite a long time.
It's really
not
weird.
Helpful, is it?
No, not great for
I mean,
childbirth,
it is a safe
particularly.
Place for me, an Indian restaurant. I do love a curry.
Isn't it?
But
for us all.
But yeah.
Odd.
Yeah, really odd.
So you had diamorphine.
Mm.
You've ripped off the TENS machine.
Yeah, ripped off the TENS machine a while ago.
And then
it's just given up on the
stopped.
Gas and air. Well, no, eventually it just continued to be really bad. I remember being in the lift, being taken to the labour ward, and a poor child being the exact same height, because I was in a wheelchair, exact same height as my face in the wheelchair, and I did turn away from her because I thought, she doesn't need to
No,
see.
That's going to give her nightmares.
It really would, my big old face contorting in agony.
Oh.
Awful. And then eventually the anaesthetist came and they gave me an epidural.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, I have experienced.
Yeah. And it was the best, I mean, I've never been as happy in my life.
But was it that effective? Because...
Yeah.
I got, you know, you have to stay still when they do it to you. So my anaesthetist said to me, you need to stay still at this point, even if you have a contraction, because if you move, we may paralyse you.
Yeah, I remember
which
that
is
phrase.
Just really great at that point. And I did manage to stay still, but I remember, I suppose, it numbing me, but I don't remember it being nice. And I love a bit of numbage.
Yeah,
I'm a good one for
I'm surprised.
Numbing.
Were you in a... So you were still feeling pain?
Well,
or were you
traumatised? Less pain, maybe.
Right, I had zero pain.
Ooh,
zero pain.
That's a good epidural.
Oh my God! But I sort of forgot I was in labour. I was so happy. So, and Dan by this point had got his book out and read most of Moby Dick.
Moby
yes,
Dick. That's the
yes.
That's his book of choice.
Yeah.
During labour.
Yeah, you're right. The sort of the whale metaphor, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it was certainly a, you know, a big hefty tome.
Oh, well, bully
through.
For Dan. Did he nip out and get a Pret croissant as well?
No, he, but yeah, I was lying on my back, just deliriously happy. And then, yeah.
Did you have a little button that you could push to make
top
it
up? I'm trying to remember.
Because I don't remember that either.
No, I don't think I did. I don't think I did, but I was very, very nervous about it running out. I remember calling people a couple of times to say, is there a possibility of this running out? Because I need to know when that's going to happen, and I'd like to have a timer on and all of that. Oh, I forgot a terrible, if we're going embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Before that had happened, so I could still like walk and everything, I went and I realised that I was going to evacuate my bowels. But I was really scared because I was still in a lot of pain.
So this is before the epidural, because you this wouldn't have
before,
had a clue
exactly,
about that.
Exactly, this is before the epidural. And I held Dan's... And we are not doors open at all. Like, Dan puts on a suit and tie to go to the loo in the night. You know, it's
quite
really...
Right.
We, yeah. But he, bless him, he held my hand while I sat on the toilet. And I cried and all of this stuff came out. And he went... He said something very sweet, like, it's just your body getting rid of the stuff that it doesn't need. And I went, no, it's the fucking bran flakes. But it was good. At that point, I remember his face, because I remember him going, oh, you are in there. this your personality is still there.
It won't
despite
be eradicated.
All of that.
That's
yeah.
actually made me well up a bit. I think it's the sweetest love story I've ever heard.
Sweetest bowel evacuation, anyway.
It's
yeah.
made me really quite emotional. right, back to the epidural.
Back to the epidural.
You're pleasantly numb now.
Pleasantly numb.
Which is all we ever wanted.
Yeah, and I just sort of forgot I was in labour, really. It just took me... And the midwife came in and chatted, and we had a chat. And then I was like, oh, hang on. No, there's all these things I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to be moving, or you're supposed to be up on your pins and moving. And,
but you can't do that when you...
Well, I could. Like,
because I thought your whole point is you're paralysed.
Well, this
I mean,
is the
really
thing. No, exactly. I think it's only, or certainly my one... I was definitely able to stand. I was a bit wobbly on my legs, and the midwife was nervous about me getting out of bed, but I could do it. So
this
I got out of
epidural.
Bed.
It's a,
yeah, you're
that
right.
That anaesthetist needs some sort of medal.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And I remember that thing of like almost holding my breath, which is wrong, when I, you know, that whole stay still.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was just so desperate for it. And actually, the yoga had been quite good for that. I was like very bent over and very, you know.
Good tip.
Knees round the ears stuff. But yeah, so I got on. I got on my feet, and you know, to try and get it to you know, get
move
some
along.
Movement. Yeah, and weirdly, later on the midwife, because she was there for the whole time, the midwife said, "Oh, if I'd have known more about your personality early on, I'd have been encouraging you to get out of bed sooner." And I think what she meant was, I assumed you were really lazy. Like, she met me when I had my epidural in, and I was just like, I am not doing anything. I am just lying here. Get me a book. Get me, you know, whatever. And then when she realised, oh, no, she's actually quite keen on...
But that is an advert for that whole thing about knowing the same midwife right the way
oh,
through
God,
your pregnancy,
it,
which,
know,
of course,
none of
us really
do. No, I was lucky to have her for... She was supposed to leave... she was going on holiday. I wish I could remember her name. It's the awful thing. We should have written her name down and stuff. She was supposed to be leaving at 7 p.m. to go on holiday, and it was really. She kept talking about it, not in a nasty way, but she was really excited about going down to Cornwall. And she had to leave by 7. And anyway, I gave birth at 9 p.m.
and she was still there.
Yeah, bless her.
Oh, bless her.
So
whoever
it was
she is.
So. Yeah, bless you. Bless you, everyone who does amazing things like that. She just said, "I just wanted to," and because I did have the cesarean in the end, so it wasn't like she could even do anything. But she said, "I just wanted to check you were okay."
Oh, that's
and
so nice.
Was okay. So
my
nice.
My
yeah.
first midwife did the same thing, and she was wonderful. And she, I can't remember her name, but it was something like Aida.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved her and I wanted to marry her.
Yep.
And afterwards I looked her up and she turned out to be a model with Models One.
What?
Yes. She was a midwife and also a model.
Nuts.
And she was amazingly beautiful.
Oh, my God.
So it didn't actually
surprise me
that much.
What I was going to say life-work balance, but it's more of a work-work balance.
I know.
But...
you know, I suppose she did one for fulfilling
oh
and one for money. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Amazing.
Midwife come model.
Yeah, there can't be many of those around. If you wrote that into a fiction, people would be like,
it's unlikely.
Come on.
But she was really gorgeous.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Was that weird, though? Did it make you feel... Did you look at yourself all sweaty?
No, but I tell you, my husband Tom.
Yes.
He had a distraction in the room.
I was going to say, I would be like, oh. But I don't know.
You'd have been all right. You're in your dress and your cape.
They may have gone by that point.
Along with the Thames.
Yeah, exactly. Ripped off. On the floor of the cab by that point. Yeah.
Drenched in juice.
A wolf woman by that point. But speaking of which, didn't you, when I was having my contractions, I did feel like I was an animal. Like I felt
yes.
like...
You kind of make mooing noises sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I felt, or a volcano or something. Mm. I just felt, it just, the feeling is so...
Primal.
Different. Yes, yeah, so primal and so different from anything else. It was, yeah, really, really... odd. I mean, my friend said that when he watched his wife in labour, he said, I swear she had muscles in her back that don't exist normally.
I am woman, hear
yeah,
me roar.
Exactly. Like manimal, you know, like just sort of like fur was going to start growing and yeah.
Yeah, that
incredible.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and I am glad that I experienced that, even though I ended up, you know, having a cesarean.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounded like you were doing all right. I don't understand what went wrong.
Well, I think basically once the tampon of chemicals had been removed, nothing much moved. I mean, I maybe, like, went a centimetre more or something.
But it was just too slow.
It was too slow. And then, poor little Amy, her heart rate started. You know, they were keeping monitoring the baby's heart rate and the heart rate was getting worse. She was clearly distressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, and so there were a lot of arguments and a lot of sort of farce as well. There was a point where the registrar came in and a nurse, and there were about three people looking up my Fanny with this, and there was a light that was supposed to be shining up there, and it kept being knocked out of the way.
Like, what were they looking at that they couldn't agree on?
I don't know. They must have been looking at her head. I mean, this is really like the
limits of my... But then it can't have been her head because...
No.
She wouldn't have crowned, presumably, because they couldn't do a...
No, they hadn't got that far.
We really need obstetrician sort of sitting
here,
in on this
yes.
to say this is what would have happened.
I know that they took a little bit of, you know, they pinpricked her head. I do know that.
What?
From it, yeah.
How?
I don't...
In which case, why couldn't she come out that way? I don't understand.
Yeah, well, maybe it was too far away. Maybe it was quite a long... skewer, I want to say.
Another hook.
As
if you hadn't had enough.
Sally! And they're putting the old poor baby's head up.
Why did they do that?
Because, like, I mean, I'm guessing, because that's how they were trying to work out if she was all right, and I don't know whether a blood thing would it have been?
Yeah, I just don't know how you'd know from...
No, from
but,
taking
I mean,
something
I, you know,
off
I'm not
the,
a doctor, am I?
Head.
There must have been a reason.
No.
They weren't doing it for
and
fun.
In fact, I was... my head was cut by a midwife. But I think I must have been
are
much
you hallucinating
closer.
That?
No, sorry, when I was being born. Sorry.
Oh. Oh, I thought you meant...
Oh, my God, imagine. I mean, these midwives, they're insane.
They're like doing
she
both
came
of
and
you
scraped.
At the same time.
I'm so glad you made me clarify that. Yeah. Yeah, I had... my mum reckons my parting is down to the... I mean, it's not.
That
it's
sounds
not.
Like a massive conspiracy theory.
Yeah. But they did... They were, you know, when they were tearing my mum open... They used a knife in it, scraped my head.
Did it?
Yeah.
That is a really crap episiotomy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But it was a home birth, so I don't know whether that was part of it. I don't know.
You're making it sound like, you know, some sort of cave birth.
Well, I mean, actually, it was an amazonette in St. Margaret's, so possibly not.
So they managed to do that, but somehow you also were able to have... A caesarean.
Yeah,
seemed...
I mean the head. What they must have. They must have had to go. Really reached far, far up to get that skin, like sample of skin.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Yeah, I should.
So they decided that this wasn't moving quickly, and the baby was in distress, and so then you just have to go full on.
So eventually they said, because me being, let's see how it goes. Worst case scenario person. When they said, we think this, I never went, well, I know better. Because I was like, well, you're
don't,
doctors.
Do you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I have to say, I'm still of that opinion.
Yeah,
I mean,
largely.
You know, yeah. There are times where you think, oh, I maybe should, you know. The only thing really that I would have changed was to say, can you give me a bit more time.
Time to go along. Yeah,
before you induce, right. because I really am in labour. You know, yeah. I may not have dilated at all, but I am in labour, and you have said I am in labour, and I feel like you're just a bit impatient, but I still trusted her.
But it might not have changed the outcome anyway.
Absolutely, and it might have made it worse. You know, it might have been longer and, you know, whatever. But I would say, it's weird, isn't it? Because you must have these conversations all the time with women where you're trying to work out. I mean, I dislike the idea of there being sides, of being like the natural birth and the medicated birth.
No, I think it's a spectrum and we mix it all up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's important to understand that it is that.
But it's why sometimes you might feel doubt about whether you're getting the best treatment.
Yeah.
Because you're so keen to believe the science,
yeah.
but you also want to retain that kind of... Not hypnobirthing, but the kind of zen, natural.
Exactly, it is. I mean, it is natural. It's definitely
primal.
Nature's doing that, it's primal. But yeah, and they when I finally went into the operating theatre, they said, "Oh, we've been you've been keeping us busy, even though we hadn't been doing anything. You've been keeping us busy because basically every 5 minutes someone had come in and said, she is coming in. And then they come in and go, she isn't coming in. She is. And they said, we've been jumping up and down, you know. So, yeah, you're here. And then they were amazing.
So very, did they top up relaxing. Your epidural?
They must have done, yeah. I mean, I was, I had the epidural maybe at 2 or something. And then... Yeah, the operation. Oh, well, on the operating theatre, they did a whole new thing.
Yeah, that's
thing
what I'm just checking.
They,
you got your drugs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I know you like them.
I had the spray.
I don't. What's that?
Maybe that's.
What's a spray?
That sounds weird, doesn't it?
I feel like I missed out.
I had a spray all over my legs. Maybe that was as well as an epidural. This was a much more hardcore epidural. There was no getting up and standing.
No,
not that I would have done during the.
I had to be sewn up afterwards because I tore.
Yeah.
A vaginal tear. And I was like really panicking that they would think somehow they didn't really need to do an anaesthetist.
Yeah, you know,
up. I'll just manage. And I was really like trying to get them to say, I want to be numb. I want to be so numb.
Yeah.
And when I think they topped up the epidural first time round, and that numbness was glorious. They had to sort of hoik my legs.
Yes.
Apart.
Yeah. They have to.
And
actually
I couldn't feel
lift
them
up.
And it was amazing.
Yes.
Like that. Good
bit
of
really
numb.
Good. Really good. Yeah, and they put up a little wall.
Oh, yes.
So
little
I
blue
can't
one.
See. Yeah, so I can't see over it. And Dan sat with me. And it feels like someone doing the washing up in you. You know, you can feel it. That's the weird thing about it.
But
you
it doesn't
can feel
hurt.
It doesn't hurt. So obviously it's just a very
so
slight,
weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rummaging.
Bizarre. Yeah, just having a rummage in you. And then they kept saying to Dan, would you want to see the baby coming out? And he was dithering a bit.
Yeah.
And then it was out. And he was like,
missed it.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So he was very much like,
is he still deep
maybe
in
I
Moby Dick?
Do. Yeah. Can you imagine? Got to a really good bit in Moby Dick. So can you just pause before you lift the baby up? Like, The Lion King. That's what they do. They
I imagine it like the
wall
King.
Comes down and the baby
and they
comes
rise,
up.
They lift it up. Oh. So he missed the birth.
He missed the birth, yeah. And then they took her away to clean her up, just over to the other side of the room. And Dan went and took a photo. And so I have a photo of my daughter
before
I'd seen her, which is so weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, really amazing. Yeah. And then they brought her back and did the... Well, Dan and I immediately had a row.
Lovely.
Yeah. Because
I'm
he
so glad
said,
you could squeeze that in.
Yeah, because it's busy, isn't it? Because he'd said, I said, can you go and ring my parents? And he said, well, I think I might wait and do that in the morning. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? They are going to be... Yeah, do what I say, but also... They're not going to be able to sleep. Like, they know I'm being induced today. We haven't really... Maybe we'd given them some sort of, you know, text saying it's still nothing much is happening, whatever. They're not going to be able to sleep. No one in my family. They care
Tell
about me.
Everyone.
Just go. Like, so I sent him down to the car park and he... But it was really weird that was the first thing that happened. And by the way, I didn't cry. I didn't, you know, I was, it was weirdly... Yeah, I was very, very pleased that it was there, done. That it was done, but I didn't really have much emotion. I think any, relief was
yeah,
bigger
than...
Yeah,
there's not possibly any room left at that point. And also, you're full of drugs.
Yes.
So normal kind of emotional
yeah,
reactions.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was seeing that Indian restaurant wall. You know,
yeah.
That was my focus. No, I should ask that. I mean, I think he was probably more emotional than I was. Like, it was weird. All the way through the whole process, I kept looking at him and thinking, sort of thinking, this is worse for you. And obviously it's not. But what I'm going through is so mental, like
but
so
never,
mad.
Ever
that it's,
could understand.
Yeah. And he, all he is seeing is somebody he loves in an insane amount of pain and confusion and whatever, like something that he can't possibly
You've got quite,
help with. You know?
An endearing amount of... empathy for your spouse, because I think I remember seeing Tom sitting on a chair in the corner and feeling this massive irrational hatred for him, like, just fucking sitting there, useless lump. I resented him so much.
Yeah, and I think I was expecting to. And actually, you know what, I've got a really foul mouth and I didn't swear at all through the entire process, yeah. And I mean, actually, I wasn't in labour for that long, like, not comparatively. I know people who've literally been in labour
for like
for
3 days or
yeah.
Yeah.
So it looking back, it doesn't feel like it was that long an amount of, you know, the insane bit. Like obviously all the rest of it is worrying and weird and whatever, but it's not the same as just I am become wolf. Wolf volcano.
Wolf volcano woman.
Yeah.
So let's take you to a rather lovely conclusion of this that presumably they... Have they sewed you up at this point? I mean, I assume that they do that quite quickly.
Yes, they do it quite quickly. Did they? Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's the reason. That, you know, they take the baby away to clean up
and then they sew
you
up. But
yeah.
Then do they pass you the baby straight away? After?
Yeah, as soon as they had cleaned her. I mean, actually, maybe she wasn't even cleaned up. I'm sure I didn't. No, anyway, I had skin to skin.
Her in some way.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's more that. It's not I'm going to polish this baby because she's disgusting.
She's grim.
It was more check. It did the little checks and, brought her back. We had skin on skin.
Was Dan still downstairs in the car park at that point? Or was
No, he'd done all of that. The car park must have been... it must have been after that.
I want to allow us to picture the three of you sort of cuddling
yeah.
in the operating
we,
room.
Yeah, we did. Let's allow that.
Yeah,
we must have done that before I then sent him to the car park. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
good,
we did do
good.
That.
So there's the cuddly moment,
yeah.
which you can end on, a lovely
yeah.
image.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and relief was the big emotion, really. Very different the second time when I hadn't been through labour and an emergency and whatever. And by the way, the second caesarean, they really slagged off the work of the first caesarean.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, we've had to do some stitching. You
but
know,
it was an emergency.
Yes, I know.
That's so easy to criticise.
Yeah.
But did they give you a nicer one second time round?
Yeah. I mean, there's two lines, I suppose. It's a bit like when you're trying to, you know, test whether a pen's working. That's the first two lines.
Actually, I was thinking somehow about, you know, when you look in a trunk to see how many rings it's got to see how old it is. Some sort of
yeah.
thing like that.
Yeah. No, they're closer than that. In a, like, you know, they overlap.
Overlap. Oh, that's nice of them
yeah.
to do that for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Now, just to kind of conclude
yes.
this wonderful episode in your life, I wondered if you would think of what's the thing that you wish you could go back and tell yourself?
Oh. Well, do you mean... Before it happened?
Yeah, before you gave birth, like you're sitting there waiting with your TENS machine, or maybe even before that.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're not making your birth plan, what's the piece of
when
advice you'd give yourself?
Plan. I mean, I guess trust the NHS. I know that's
that's
silly.
A good message.
But also, but also trust yourself. As well, and I think it's different for different people, isn't it? That there are some people who absolutely shouldn't trust their own instincts. No, that's
no.
Mean.
But ending that on, we're in love with the NHS, and
yeah.
we're in love with ourselves.
Yeah. Why
process.
Not? Actually, do you know what? I mean, this isn't even advice, but I would just say, if you get through it and you are alive and your baby's alive, then that's amazing. And not to feel bad about a cesarean. Because I had a thing recently where I realised... Sorry, I know I'm rambling now, but I had a thing recently where I realised I didn't think of myself as having given birth.
Oh, no, that's silly.
I know. I know. And I realised, God, if someone else said that to me, I'd be like, don't be ridiculous.
No.
You definitely
get it
have.
Out. Yeah, however it comes
you've
out.
You've done that.
Then yeah, you get
you
the
had a
medal.
Baby grow and you got it out.
That's a good message.
That's a good
however
message.
However you get it out, it's fine.
It's amazing. It's more than
it's
fine.
Good.
It's like a miracle.
So what I'm going to do with all these sort of life lessons that I get from each person, you know, I'm going to write this particular one on a really beautiful little card and I'm going to wrap it in tissue paper covered in hearts and I'm going to bury it. In the middle of a barren desert where it will never be found.
So beautiful, Bert. Yeah,
because we all have to do these things in our own way and not listen to other people.
Yeah.
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 And on that note, thank you very much for being on One Torn Every Minute.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with more stories from the front line of procreation. Make sure you subscribe and feel free to give us a review. See you next time.
GreatBigOwl.com.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to.
Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring
yeah,
and
I love
fridge
that.
Magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.